The first reading is from John chapter 1, verse 1 to 18, found on page 1063. John chapter 1 to 18, on page 1063. John chapter 1, 1 to 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father, has made him known."
Second reading is from John chapter 3, verse 16 to 21. Can be found on page 1066. John chapter 3, verse 16 to 21. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict: light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light, and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done inside of God." This is the word of God.
And can I just say what a joy and what a blessing it is to have the choir from Rock Solid and to have our internationals taking part, and also to see many new faces here with us. It's a wonderful time of year, a time of celebration, a time where we do so many different things. In fact, if I can have my slides up, we often celebrate Christmas in different ways, don't we? Some of us like to, certainly in Eastern Europe, for instance, they tend to celebrate their Christmas on Christmas Eve, where they have their main meal. It consists of 12 different dishes without any meat in them, something to do with coming to the end of a Sabbath time or a fasting time. And then they give away all their presents on Christmas Eve. And then we have in New Zealand. In fact, Tracy and I spent a little while in New Zealand a little while ago. And there, their traditional Christmas food, they have all the turkey, but they love strawberries. I think it's got something to do with the red and the green, and they're particularly in season at that time. And so a typical Christmas dinner would be finished off with a strawberry-topped pavlova. In Far East Asia, well, there are many different ways that they might enjoy Christmas. And one of those might be with a typical spicy pork dish, something like you see. And of course, we love our traditional roast turkey, don't we? With all the trimmings and roast potatoes and cranberry sauce. Am I getting your tummy rumbling? And then I asked Craig what the Australians do for Christmas. And he said, well, Christmas wouldn't be the same without a barbecue, a barbecued shrimp and a beer. So that's what the Australians do. They have to bring everything back down to earth, don't they? But whilst the world celebrates Christmas in so many different ways, Christmas is actually a celebration of one truth, that God loves the world. Yet so often we have our focus, don't we, on this lovely sort of Christmas card scene, where we see Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus with this sort of warm glow around them, and this sort of the baby lying in a bed of soft straw. And then just above them, there's the bright star of the Star of Bethlehem. And all the animals are calm, and the baby's not crying. It's a very tranquil and beautiful picture. But it's nice, isn't it? But we mustn't leave the Christmas message there. Because the Christmas message is so much more than what you see. It's about God, who loved the world. This verse that was read to us: for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, to really appreciate what is going on here, we need to look beyond the stable and into the eternal heavenly realms. And as we look into there, we see a picture of God, of what God is doing, of what we celebrate at Christmas. Now, the first reading that Robin read to us was from John chapter 1. And there we read, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." And here we get that amazing glimpse into the very being of God himself. And there we see in God a relationship between God the Father and God the Son, God the Word, as is described there. And there is God was there in the very beginning of the world, before the world was created. God has always been. In fact, God is eternal. He never had a beginning. And then as we look down again at chapter 1, we see in verse 18, "No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in the closest relationship with the Father and has made him known." You see, God loves himself. God the Father and God the Son are in this perfect loving relationship. And then we also see throughout the Bible that the person of God, the Spirit, is equally in a perfect relationship with God. So here, we can just get this small understanding of what the nature of God is like. Three persons in perfect unity, absolutely together, in love and in perfect holiness. Each person giving to the other. They're giving glory and majesty and giving love. And everything the Father does, the Son does. Everything the Holy Spirit does, the Son does. And everything they do together is all in harmony, all in perfect unity. So God is in three persons, and yet they act in one. They think as one. They serve us and love each other as one. You know, in our relationships with one another, they're often based on what we can gain for ourselves. For instance, I might like my boss because they give me a job. Or I might love my teacher because they give me good marks. I might even love my wife because she loves me back. We love because we want to receive love as well. But these are imperfect relationships. And that is not what we see in God. You see, God is constantly giving. In fact, he's giving eternally within himself, giving to others. God the Father gives to the Son. God the Son gives to the Father. God the Son gives to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives to the Son. You see, heaven, the wonderful place where God is a place of joy, a place of happiness, where God himself is completely satisfied. But God loves us so much. He loves so much that love was spilling out. And so it spilled out in order that he would create a world. And so his act of creating the world is an act of love. Have a look here again in John chapter 1, in verse 3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. So from within this loving relationship, within God himself, comes everything that has been made. In fact, it says there that nothing in the whole universe has not been made and placed there by God. Everything is overflowing from God's love. And so we see in our creation the vastness of the stars and the galaxies. We see the amazing complexity of even something as beautiful as a hummingbird. Or we can see the delicacy of a beautiful flower. Or the uniqueness and detail of every snowflake crafted like no other. The creation around us tells us so much about the vastness or the complexity or the beauty or the creativity or the infinite imagination of our Almighty God. But then creation, the climax of creation, is mankind, where God created a man and a woman in his own image. Why are they different then from the rest of creation? Why are they the climax? Well, it's because mankind was given the light. Now, what does that mean in verse 4? Now, usually lights, they show us the way. If I had a torch, I could shine it around and you'd sort of expose the things that are in here that are in the darkness. And that's what the light does, doesn't it? It exposes what we can't see. Well, that's the sort of thing of what it does for us here. You see, the light here is shining into the darkness. It is the light that shows us the way to God. As human beings, we have been given that light. We've been given the life from God, but we've also been given the light. And so that means that we have the unique capacity, different from all of the other creatures that God made, a capacity in order to relate to God. God made us so that we could be friends with God, to follow his instructions, to hear his words, to love him and to worship him. Each of us here have been designed by God to be worshippers of him. And so that's why all of us have this sense of looking for something to worship. All of us are searching for something to make sense of this world. God has made us like that so that we would find him. However, we don't all experience that relationship, do we? Because now we have been blocked in our relationship with God because of our sin. Now, sin is a Bible word for our rebellion, our turning our back on God. You see, sin entered the world as mankind turned their back on God's way. And here in John, we see a similar imagery to that of light that is in relationship with God. But here we hear about darkness. That's being away from God's way. And we're very familiar with things in this world that are not as they should be, aren't we? We see the broken relationships all around us. Families that are split apart. There's murder, hatred, lies. People worshipping all sorts of false gods. Corruption in society. And then we see awful conflicts, as we prayed for earlier, in Syria, where innocent people are being massacred in their thousands. And then across the world, we see poverty and disease, that greater imbalance of wealth, where the richer get richer and the poorer get poorer. We are all too familiar with the problems of this world, the darkness that surrounds us. And the reason we're familiar with it is because we recognize it in ourselves as well. We recognize that we have broken relationships. We recognize that what comes out of our mouth is often untruth or dishonesty. We recognize that in our hearts we are utterly selfish, looking after me first. So we live in this darkness. We live in darkness, away from God's way. Because in this world there are so many evil forces, always trying to do so much destruction, as much as they are allowed to do. Although this world is a dark place, and although it is in difficulty most of the time, the darkness will not overcome the light. Look at verse 5 of John chapter 1. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Just because we live in a dark world doesn't mean that we ourselves are not responsible for our own actions. You see, God has revealed his truth in the existence of his creation. So as we look at the beautiful snowflakes, we can see that there is a designer. And God has also revealed himself through his word, through him revealing his way to live in his people, through the nation of Israel and in Christian lives, through his Bible. And so God will one day return and will bring justice in this world. He will judge the world for the evil and the darkness that we see. But God is patient. God is good. And he is waiting for others to turn to him. And we see that the wonderful news of Christmas is that God provided a bright, shining light, the true light, a gift from God, where we see hope. And we read in a verse from John chapter 1, verse 9, that this true light is the Lord Jesus. Have a look at verse 9. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. And going down to verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We see there plainly that Jesus is the true light. Jesus, that's God's Son, lovingly became flesh, became a man, in order to show us the truth about God, in order to be the light, to open up our eyes, to see God himself. So even though the world and everything in it has been spoiled by sin, God is still giving to the world. In his love, he's still giving, and this time he gives his Son, Jesus Christ. And so at Christmas time, the reason for such a big celebration is that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. On the front of our Christmas invitations, we've got this verse. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." See, Jesus came into the world miraculously. He entered into, as a tiny seed, inside Mary's womb and grew from a tiny baby. born in Bethlehem in shockingly bad conditions, laid in a manger. And Jesus gave himself continually throughout his life. He gave constantly to those who were in need. He gave life to those who needed life. He gave health. He gave teaching of the way to live for God's way. And then people did not want it, though, did they? People did not receive Jesus with love. And the darkness hated the true light. They wanted to extinguish Jesus as the light. And they put Jesus to death on a cross. They crucified him, even though he was innocent of any crime. But that was no mistake. It was all part of God's plan. God always knew that Jesus would be coming to earth to die on a cross, because it was all part of God's saving plan. It's God, part of God's love for the world. Jesus loved his Father and was willing to obey him, even to die on a cross. The Bible tells us that God demonstrates his own love for us in this: that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God's love for us is so giving, so selfless, always giving for our good and our blessing, so that we might know God. And that giving included Jesus dying on a cross. But why? Why did Jesus die on a cross? Well, you see, here we have the greatest act of love, Jesus dying on the cross, and it's also the greatest act of mercy and the greatest act of justice. You see, the judgment of God against all sin is coming on all of those who have sinned, except for those who believe. And if those who believe, they turn to God, and God takes the punishment for their sin and places it on Jesus. Jesus died suffering the punishment for the stuff that I have done wrong and for the stuff that you have done wrong. Just imagine a young boy playing at home, and he's discovered some matches lying around. And as he takes the matches out, he looks at them. He can't resist. He takes a match out, strikes it, and watches it burn. Now, he knows that it's not right. He knows his parents have told him not to play with matches. He knows that it's dangerous, but he can't resist. He takes another match, and he strikes it again. But this time the match catches his clothes alight. And as he's starting to burn, he's panicking and screams out for help. His brother comes in, sees the danger, and puts his arms around the boy, smothers the flames, puts them out. But of course the brother gets burnt to save the little boy. The brother has the scars to save the young lad. And that's what Jesus has done for us. Jesus came in hearing our cries. Jesus came to be a man. And he came to take the fire for us. He came to bear the nails in his hands so that we could be saved. And Jesus, as the true light, died on a cross to take the punishment for us, for the darkness in which we live in, so that we could be united with God in friendship. So what should our response be to this wonderful news? Well, we've seen, of course, that we should love God. We've seen that the world loves to celebrate Christmas in many different ways. But here we see that it's about God loving the world. How do we respond to that? what our verse 16 tells us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, at Christmas time, there is a response that is needed. When God pours out his love in sending Jesus, he wants a response. He wants us to believe in what Jesus has done and who he is. So firstly, we need to believe that we need to be rescued. We need to recognize in our hearts that we are dark, that we have rebelled against God. And secondly, we need to recognize who Jesus is. That Jesus is God's Son, coming from that eternal God, becoming man. And thirdly, we need to believe that Jesus died on the cross in order to take the punishment for what I have done wrong. You see, if we know who we are, that we are sinners, and if we know who God is, who Jesus is, that he's God, and if we know what Jesus has done, that he died for us as sinners, then that should fill our hearts with love, fill our hearts with praise for what God has done for us. And in so doing, in that right response to God, we become children of God. John chapter 1, I'm flicking back to John chapter 1 now. And it looks at let's look at verse 12. Yet to all who did receive him, that's Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. You see, those of us who receive Jesus, who believe who he is and what he's done, you'll be welcomed as children of God into an amazing relationship with God himself. And so that's the way we were created, we relate then with God as we should and share in the love and the blessing and being welcomed into God's presence. What a joy, what a wonderful truth that is. And of course our hearts are filled with love for Jesus, who saves us. So I'm asking you the question, do you love God? Do you respond at Christmas time to seeing who Jesus is and believing in him? And if you do, you will be welcomed as a child of God, where you'll be free of the judgment against sin. And you'll be secure in the blessing of being in a relationship with God forever. The world loves to celebrate Christmas in many ways. But Christmas is actually a celebration of one truth, that God loves the world. Have you grasped that truth? This Christmas, you could know the true reason why there is all this celebration that goes on. The reason is that Jesus came, that God loves the world.